My name is Mike Malone. I'm excited to be up here this morning. I think you guys know this, but we've been going through this series about the kingdom of God and just pulling out different things from Genesis to Revelation of the ways that we see the kingdom of God playing out through Scripture. And so I'm excited to be here to talk about our next section as we talk through the life of Solomon, which we just heard a little bit of his story there, which is really cool. And it's cool, too, because I was just thinking and reflecting about Solomon's life. It was long, and right now I feel like my life is long. You guys notice I'm much older than most of you here. And so I was thinking about it. I was thinking about when we first came to OSU in the church plant. So I brought a picture of the church plant team that came here in 2008. And it was fun to just think about all the ways that we trusted and believed God to do a lot of things here. And it's cool just to think about now that we were really believing that God would continue to cultivate the kingdom of God here at OSU, and we've seen that happen. We've done things that have really, God has blessed, and we've done things and made mistakes also. Some silly ones are we showed up the first year for involvement fair, and we were called H2O, and we had no water, and everybody said, "Why don't you have water? You're H2O." And so we brought water the next year. But I think it was the next year or the year after, we brought water, but it wasn't Dasani water. So that was a mistake, too, because you can't have anything but Coca-Cola products at OSU. So we got in trouble for that. So there were some silly mistakes, some bigger mistakes, but some things that God was doing. And as I was reflecting on the church plant, it was cool to just think about different things I heard. And one of the most interesting things I heard coming down from people was, oh, church planting, that's a young man's game. And I just thought about that, like, what does that even mean? And I think what they were trying to say is that when you're younger, you just have more time for things, right? And that's true. Now that I have four kids, there's a lot more kids' activities that I'm going to. I'm on campus a little less late at night than I was when I first got here. But another thing that was kind of interesting was they were saying that when you are younger, you trust God more. There are just things that you trust God more for. And so I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking about my life, and that's true for me, too. There are some things that when I was coming here in the church plant that I just was really passionate about, I was excited for God to do, that I've sort of lost some passion for as time has gone on. One of them was that I was really excited about going to Detroit to plant a church there, and then maybe to Belfast afterwards, Belfast, Ireland. And the reason for that is that these cities are in need of transformation. And there's a lot of ways that people think that those cities can be transformed. Like in Detroit in particular, they have a lot of stadiums downtown. They have casinos. They have small businesses. And I believe as people come to the city and there's economic growth there, that the city will change. And mostly that people will treat each other better because of it. And I just know that that's not the way that a city is going to be transformed. People will treat each other better if Jesus transforms their life and does something there. And so as time has gone on, it was like that was something I was going to do really soon or seemingly soon after we came, but that has been put off a little bit. But there's other ways that I really feel like I've trusted God and continue and just really believe that he is moving in unique ways. And that one of the ways that is through being on a college campus and being here at OSU. It's just amazing to think about how I believe that as Jesus comes and interacts with people, and he transforms their lives, that they're going to become more like Christ. They're going to plant little seeds of the kingdom of God wherever they go, and they're going to grow. And the college campus is so unique and important for that, and that's why I'm still here, and I'm still excited about it. You might be asking yourself, why am I talking about myself so much this morning? And that's good, you know. Hopefully I'm not a narcissist, but I'm doing it for a reason. I'm doing it because we're going to look at Solomon's life in the different ways that he trusted God when he was young and how that transformed as he got older. And the cool thing to think about biblical stories is that we are like those biblical characters. Like each one of us here now, you might be thinking to yourself, what are ways that I am trusting God? And what are the ways that I'm trusting myself? As we get to go on in the stories, it's cool to just think about how we are a part of this biblical story that continues to this day. Think about how long ago it was started, how long ago Solomon was, but we're still a part of that story now. To me, it's just amazing to think that this has continued for so long. And so going back to our Kingdom of God series, we were talking these last couple of weeks about the kings and the things that we can pull out about the Kingdom of God from their lives. And so 2 weeks ago, Nate talked about Saul. He said the Kingdom of God is supposed to be about prioritizing what is right in God's own eyes over our own eyes. And then last week, Jeremy talked about David, and he talked about the Kingdom of God is supposed to be about HIP, or humility, intimacy, and passion, not our imperfect performance. And this morning, we are going to talk about Solomon and what we can grab from his life. What were the good things in his character? What were the lackings? And in this story, I think that God is calling us to ponder this question. Who do you trust, yourself or God? Because a king aspect of the Kingdom of God is trust in God, and trust in Jesus is our king. And knowing that, we just want to engage with that question ourselves, because it's being a question that's posed to Solomon in this story, but I think it's also posed to us. Who do you trust, yourself or God? Let's pray. Jesus, just thank you for bringing us here this morning to be just worshiping you, learning more about you through Solomon's life. I just pray that we would have a time where we can just reflect on our own lives and understand what are the ways that we're trusting you and what are the ways we're not. I pray that you would just be with us here this morning, speaking to each individual heart. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as Cain read, I'm going to read it again, just the story of how Solomon's kingship started out. And that's in 1 Kings 3, starts in 3 and goes through 14. And it says this, it says, Solomon loved the Lord by walking in it, walking in the statutes of his father David, but he also sacrificed the burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because it was the most famous high place. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, ask what I should give you. And Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and integrity. You have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. It's funny, he's sort of talking about himself there in the third person, son. Lord, my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people. You have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. So God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for a long life or riches for yourself, or death of your enemies, but you ask for discernment for yourself to understand justice. I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will again. In addition, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that no man in the kingdom will be your equal during your entire life. If you walk in my ways and keep my commandments, and keep my statutes and commands, just as your father David did, I will give you a long life. And it's cool because he starts out strong here, right? It's awesome to just think about the way that the things that Solomon is asking for. And even in the story, you see that he really wants to honor God, so he goes and sacrifices animals to him. He wants to worship him. He asks for wisdom, which really pleases God in this moment. And even in that, God says that I will give you a lot of riches because of what you asked for. But I don't know if you guys caught that, but at the end, there's an if in this. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commands. And so that begs me, or makes me ask the question, why is there an if? Is God questioning, is Solomon going to do this? And I think he is, because if you look at Solomon's life up to this point, there's some good and there's some bad, just like in our own lives. You notice in this he was sacrificing he was making sacrifices to other gods, but also to God. In this, right before this, the story starts out with him marrying Pharaoh's daughter, which they weren't supposed to intermarry with other people. So Pharaoh's daughter from Egypt. And the author in this, I think, is asking us to consider, who is Solomon trusting at this point in his life? And it's cool because I love it because it leaves you as a cliffhanger, right? You're like, okay, what's going to happen as the story continues? What is Solomon going to do? And it's cool to look at the story because there is a lot of good that happens. He shows a lot of wisdom right away and discernment. He leads his nation well. So much so that other nations come and give him tribute and a lot of wealth, just as God had promised. In this, he provides peace for the whole kingdom around him. And so it's cool to just think about it. In that time, there was a lot of wars, but Israel had a really long-lasting time of peace because he was there. In this moment, too, or in this time period, he builds a temple for God, a place for the Israelites to come worship. He dedicates that temple and leads all these Israelites to worship God and points them towards Yahweh. And it's awesome. He's doing a great job. He's leading well. He's pointing people towards God, and in that, God is giving him a prosperous life. But in the story, it's not just all good. There are some interesting things. Some people would say some bad things. In the midst of building the temple, what he does is he makes his fellow Israelites slaves to get slave labor to do it. In the story, too, he spends 7 years in building the temple of God and then 13 years building his own house, his palace, which ends up actually being bigger than the temple. He ends up with many wives. And towards the end, this is what it has to say about Solomon in his life in 1 Kings 10:23. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the world in riches and in wisdom. The whole world wanted an audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. Every man would bring his annual tribute, items of silver and gold, clothing, weapons, spices, and horses and mules. Solomon accumulated 14,000 chariots and 12,000 horsemen and stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And so, again, God is giving him a really prosperous life, and it continues on to say where he got those horses. He got them from Egypt and different places. And so I'm going to skip that part and just go to 1 Kings 11:1. It says, King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations that the Lord had told the Israelites about. Do not intermarry with them, and they must not intermarry with you, because they will turn you away from me to their gods. Solomon was deeply attached to these women and loved them. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and they turned his heart away from the Lord. And it's interesting to look at the end of Solomon's life. What was he trusting in? Seems like he was trusting in chariots and horses for military power to give this country and himself and the people protection. Now, it seems like he was trusting in wives for political alliances with countries around him that helped bring the peace that they had. He might have been trusting them to get the love that he was supposed to get from Yahweh. He was trusting in money to provide for his needs in the future. He was accumulating wealth, not for Israel itself, but it says specifically for him. You might be asking yourself, what is the big deal, Mike, right? Again, this is what God said he would give to Solomon. He would give him a lot of prosperity. Well, if you were Israelite during the time, you would be thinking about this, especially that description in 1 Kings 10, and it would remind you of Deuteronomy 17, when God was saying this is what a king should do when he's put over Israel. And it says this, when you enter the land your Lord God's giving you, take possession of it, live in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations around me. You are to appoint over you the king the Lord God chooses, appoint a king from your brothers. You are not to set a foreigner over you and one who is not of your people. However, you must not acquire many horses for himself to send the people back, but for himself, or send the people back to Egypt to acquire many horses, for the Lord has told you, you are never to go back that way again. He must acquire many wives for himself so that his heart won't go astray. He must not acquire very large amounts of silver and gold for himself. When he is seated on his royal throne, he is to write a copy of the instructions for himself on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It is to remain with him, and he is to read from it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to observe all the words of his instructions, and to do these statutes. Then his heart will not be exalted above his countrymen. He will not turn from this command to the right or the left, and he and his sons will continue ruling many years over Israel. And so you can see he was doing exactly the opposite of what God wanted him to do. And if you look at it, the scary thing is it didn't just happen right away, right? Think about the story. It was probably an incremental process. All of a sudden, you don't get just a lot of horses. It takes some time to acquire them. And slowly, he seems like he's turning from trusting God to trusting in other things or himself. You know, I don't know about you, but it seems like it'd be hard to marry 700 people at once. That would probably take a process over time where you get to know people and you spend time with them. And even like in the story, it talks about how he loved them. There must have been some way that he knew these people. They weren't just random. You know, and it took a long time to acquire all the wealth. You know, it was over years and years of people bringing tribute and him not distributing it to all of Israel, but him keeping some for himself. And so the story ends this way in 1 Kings 11, 9 for Solomon. It says, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from Yahweh, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had commanded him about this so that he would not follow other gods, but Solomon did not do what the Lord had commanded. Then the Lord said to Solomon, since you have done this and did not keep my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Therefore, I will not do it during your lifetime because your father, David, I will tear it away from your son's hand. I will not tear the entire kingdom away from him. I will give one tribe to your son because my servant David, because of Jerusalem that I choose. And so that's really what happens next, is the kingdom is torn in two, and this is what happens. And when we look at Solomon's life, at least for me, it's easy to judge him, right? Like, what happened, Solomon? You knew what you were supposed to do. You knew what was right. You should have done what was right. You know, what's going on, man? And when I think about it more, it's easy to judge him. It was easy for him to lose sight of his purpose. But I also think about it, and all the things that were happening to him weren't bad. Again, this is what God wanted to see happen. And I can see, as I start to reflect more on this, I can start to see Solomon in my own life, in the ways that I've trusted God or trusted myself. You know, I don't know if you guys have done this, but like there was a moment in my life where I really thought, I really want to share my faith with other individuals. And it started out great. It started out with, I really have to trust God that I'm going to share about Jesus and he's going to do something in their life. He's going to transform their heart. But as time went on, I slowly started to trust in myself. I started to trust in, if I just share it a certain way, this person will come to know God. If I'm able to answer all their questions, then this person will know about Jesus. They'll trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And slowly over time, my trust turned from trusting in God to trusting myself, sharing my faith. And there's other things I could go through, like reading my Bible, spending a amount of time in Christian community. But ultimately, it's not just even about like spiritual things in our lives. It moves to everyday life. You know, I think about Solomon's life, and he wanted security. And sometimes I think about, I want security in my life and where I choose to live. You know, one of the things that's difficult about even thinking about going to Detroit in the future is that's not as safe as a place as where I live now. It's not as good of a school district for my kids. And so I can see myself, instead of trusting in God for those things, trusting in myself and where we're located. You know, maybe for you, you're thinking now in where you're at in school, that you should start networking with those around you. Because if you start networking with individuals, it could lead to a future job. You know, it's sort of like a Solomon was creating alliances to create peace for him. Maybe you're creating alliances for your future job security. Maybe it's about academic success, because we know if you do well in school, you'll have greater compensation in your future job. You think that, even like Solomon, that this money will take care of you instead of God himself. And I don't say this to be a downer, because I can look out there now and people seem a little down. It's okay. But I do it to say that there is a reality, right? And to do the other thing is to encourage you guys. Because just like Solomon's life, it wasn't just like instantaneous, a light switch. You're making choices all the time to follow God and trust in him, or to trust in yourself. And I look out at this room and I think there are many people, even in this moment, are trusting in God more than themselves. And they're making choices to do that. And I want to encourage you guys to continue to do that as you go through school right now. Because as you do this, you will build habits for the future as you graduate and move on to other places. You know, all the time you guys are hit with the option of studying more or spending time with God. Now, I'm not saying studying is bad, just like the things that were given to Solomon were not bad, but it's more about your heart. And so in that moment, when you're like, I should study more, you just have to ask yourself, is it because I'm trusting in myself? Or am I going to trust in God in this moment? You know, it might be you are trusting in God for even relationships. Think about all the wives that Solomon had. I'm sure he was pursuing those in some way to help him have peace and joy and excitement in his life. What are the things that you guys are turning now instead of God for that? Whether it's entertainment, things on your phone like social media, partying, maybe even pursuing a romantic relationship. Again, all those things aren't bad. And I don't want to say they are. I don't want to make a blanket statement. It's just about your heart and you taking the time to examine your heart about what am I trusting in this moment. You know, many of you guys are going into debt to pay for college. And there might be this future hope in the future that I'm going to be out of debt. And when I accumulate a certain amount of wealth, then I'll be secure and that'll be okay. And again, that's not bad, because God doesn't like debt. He wants you out of debt. But are you trusting in being out of debt to bring your security? Are you trusting in God? And so with that, it being a heart thing, and I can't say where you guys are at in this moment, I want to give you a time to reflect this morning and reflect on this question in the middle of this talk. What do you find yourself trusting in instead of God? So this will be like 2 or 3 minutes. I just want you guys to think about that. You can write it down. You can write it on your phone. Or you can just think about it in your head. But take some time to reflect on this question. I want you guys to think about that, because I want you guys to just take that list and those other things that you're trusting in God in. Instead, I want you to just pray about trusting in God instead of those things. I want to challenge you guys to be like young Solomon. Now, he started out really trusting and believing in God. I want to do that because you're young, too, because Solomon is young. I want you to do it because it honors God. Just think about what he did right away was worship and honor God. I want you guys to do it because as you trust in God and Jesus, it'll bring you a lot more peace and joy and security and happiness in your lives right now. And I want you to do it because you can be an example to your fellow students around you at OACU at this point in your life. Just think about what they're struggling with. Do you have friends in classes who are content, or are they stressed? Are they lonely, or do they feel loved? Is the future daunting to them, or is it exciting just believing about or thinking about what God could do, the ways he could move? And I want you to just say that those choices and the way you live makes a difference because people notice it. And your light will shine. And I know this is true because I've seen it happen. Example I want to share with you guys this morning is of my friend James. And I have a picture of him up here, I think, yeah. And that's his wife, Sharon. And when James came to school, he had a couple of goals. One was to become a lawyer and go to a law firm, which was one of the bigger, more prestigious ones in the U.S., and to make a lot of money, because he thought that's what was going to bring him happiness. But his life was also filled with a lot of stress. For every test that he was going to take, it was very important. His future was daunting because it's very uncertain. He didn't know if he was going to be the best lawyer. He didn't know where he would get placed in a law firm or not, or where he'd go to law school. And everything that he did and every grade that he got, he felt was tied to his future compensation. And what happened was that James met Andrew, which is funny, they're two biblical names, but we're not talking about the Bible now, but nice biblical names. Andrew had become a Christian while he was in college, and he was going to be a lawyer too, and they were in a lot of the same political science classes. And they became friends, and James really noticed that there was something different about Andrew. Things were just a little less stressful for him. He wasn't as concerned about what life was going to be like in the future. Instead, more trust in God. And that led James to ask more questions, because he noticed, too, that Andrew was going to church and going to some Bible study and things like that. And through that, he was able to share the gospel, and eventually James came to know Jesus. And the cool thing is, like, his life didn't change a lot from the outside. He still became a lawyer. He still went to Emory Law School, became a lawyer. Now he works in immigration law, helping people legally come to the United States or stay here. And it's cool because now he has a lot more trust, a lot more peace, a lot more joy and happiness. And it's not like he can't take care of himself, his wife, and his three kids. They still do that. But his life has a different purpose. And it's cool to just think about, as we do this, as we see God transform lives here, you know, I was talking about at the beginning, we see little seeds of the kingdom of God go out into the world and grow. It's cool to see that James is doing something that's really close to God's heart, which is helping immigrants. And it's cool to see that just that little way that Andrew was living his life in school made a difference. And I'm sure there's many more Jameses out there in your classes right now. Jameses, in quotations. They're looking for other things for their security. Maybe it's a job. A lot of people might be entertaining themselves a lot because life is so stressful through scrolling on TikTok, watching shows, doing a lot of video games. Maybe they're putting their hope in a future relationship for their happiness. Maybe they're hoping to have peace as they are able to get out of debt. But what they're really looking for is Jesus. Hopefully you guys are realizing that too. For you in your life right now, what you really need is Jesus and trust in him. Because he will bring you all these things. And as you do this, you can be a light on campus. You can see the Jesus' name ring out. You'll see more people make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And that's really what this campus needs. So I leave before you this question this morning to ponder throughout the week. Just like Solomon had this question, who will you trust, yourself or God? Let's pray. Jesus, I just ask you to work in my heart more and more each day, that I would trust in you more and more in each decision I'm making. I thank you that it's not just a black and white thing, that I'm either trusting God or not trusting you, that there are things and choices each day where I trust you and choices that I don't. I just pray that you would help me to examine my own heart and that I would more fully each day follow you. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.